Amen. Thank you, Donna. Hey, good morning. Trust and pray everybody is doing well, and the Lord is blessing in an incredible, incredible way. We want to welcome you. Look around, give somebody a wave, you know, a smile, a friendly smile. Not the I didn't have my coffee this morning smile, but the hey, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad to be here. If you're part of our online audience, again, we want to welcome you as well. And be sure, if you're part of our online audience, to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito. He is monitoring you, not like keeping. That is that so many around this world do not have today to be able to gather in the freedoms in which we do, to be able to worship you and to worship you freely and openly. So Father, today I pray we won't take those opportunities for granted. I thank you for the opportunity to gather with like-minded believers as your word tells us to do, that we might not only receive but we might also be givers when it comes down to our experiences and our talents and our testimony. Lord, you've brought us together for a reason and for a purpose, and it's not by accident. So I pray that today, Lord, as we come into this place, that we truly would prepare our hearts to meet you here. Lord, through the worship that we do, as we lift our voices to you in song, Lord, may it be different today. Lord, I pray that above all things, that you would move in each and every individual heart and life as you do so corporately here today. We're grateful that your word promises us where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. So, Father, we know that you're here today. We know that you have a word for us. So, as we've prayed many, many times and as we've read in your word, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to each and every one of us today. And Lord, be careful to praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as this we're entering this time of the year, and I think I misspoke the other day when I said the Piedmont Baptist Association offering is what we're taking. I know I probably got a couple of strange looks. It's not. It's the North Carolina Missions offering. And we're actually going to be taking that through this month. That particular offering is what supports so many different things in the state of North Carolina. It supports disaster relief. It supports church planning. It supports so many different areas across the state of North Carolina. So it's our Baptist State Convention where these funds that we're taking will go. So if as the Lord leads and you want to contribute to that offering, you can put that in an envelope and just put, you can put anything from a Baptist state offering, you can put state offering, you can put anything that will delineate Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. We'll make sure that it gets directed in the right path. All of that goes for the things that you've seen when it comes down to the even like the disaster recovery, what a bunch of us in here have actually been doing. That's where funding from that comes from. It doesn't come from anywhere pretty much other than that. So we're grateful for all that you do as we proceed forward. As always, we've got something that we would like to show you. We always try to kind of help keep you introduced to what's taking place and what's going on. So here is a little bit more about the North Carolina Baptist Missions offering. Here's our video. Go ahead and start that, guys.
As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be first in line to provide love and hope through the gospel. God has filled our hearts with a joy that must be carried forth in love and ministry to others. Our efforts are fueled by the local church for the local church. Volunteers are consistently needed for ministries like disaster response and the work of Baptists on Mission. From preparing meals, rebuilding homes from those displaced by disasters, a fleet of mobile medical, dental, and health screening units offer free health services to underserved patients. All patients who receive treatment also hear the good news of Jesus Christ from pastors and volunteers who provide care. We also operate mission camps in our state while mobilizing ministry projects that impact our nation and across the world. Your support has also allowed NC Baptist to launch Send NC to facilitate the launch of new churches, all with the goal of reaching the unreached in North Carolina and beyond. Offerings received through NCMO help mobilize men, women, and students to use their God-given gifts, talents, and abilities to serve in a variety of ways as you help provide relief for today and hope for tomorrow.
As Brad's making his way up, I just want to remind folks that we will actually be taking that offering. I have it here if I can see it. That will be through the 29th of next month, right? September 9/29. So if you want to contribute, you can do that. They're offering envelopes in the back of the pews, or you just ask somebody. We'll make sure that we can get you one for that. And we just praise the Lord for all the work that's going on, the medical ministry, the dental ministry, the disaster recovery, and so many other things along the way are all supported by North Carolina Baptist. Come help us worship, Brad.
Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Oh,
Thank you, choir. Please turn to 22, Bless His Holy Name.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all
Today at Central Baptist, as you can tell, very shortly we're going to observe communion to the Lord's Supper. So that means I have to talk fast and you have to listen fast. So we're going to be looking at a passage, and I'm just going to deal with probably two different verses today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm going to go ahead and give that to you so you can go ahead and be finding that, because I know that there's probably some of you out there that say, I don't generally turn to Ecclesiastes that much. That's a little one that's a little bit tougher to find. And if not, we should have it up on the screen for you as we go. But it's been interesting, particularly this time of the year, and I know that it's not anything that's really any different, but yet it is something that comes around very often this time of the year. And it concerns change. You know, often you've got what you've got is you've got folks that are going to be going back to school. Your kids are going back to school. You have some that are actually changing school. You have some that have graduated, some that will be moving on to college, and life is going to be opening different doors, and things aren't going to be the way that they used to be. And it's been so interesting here lately, you know, people talking about dealing with a ton of change that is going on in their life. And it's interesting that as I began to think about that, I thought that's one of the things that we really kind of despise, don't we? Most of us don't like change. Most of us like things to be natural, normal. We like them to be what we consider normal. Some people embrace change better than others. Now, some don't. I mean, let's be honest today. How many of us really just kind of like, you know, things to be normal and the way we like them? And then all of a sudden when things change, I mean, are you that person that when you're going down the road, there is a detour because the road's closed, that you just get all uptight and you start saying things that don't please Jesus about the DOT? Because you had to go the long. Now, some of you are sitting there going, well, it's just because it's going to hold me up longer or whatever. We just don't like change. We just flat out don't like it. Because what happens is when things are normal, and I use that term loosely, we know how things are going to go. We know what to expect. We know what is coming. It's when we don't know when that's when we start getting a little crazy, and that's when what change will oftentimes do to us. Most of us have heard this verse that I'm going to read. You know, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I just want us to hit verse 1. And I think it's significant that we look at verse 1 because it simply says this. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, following those verses, it starts to give you a list, and I'm just going to give you an example. You don't have to look at it, but it says a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal. You see that there's the offset of each of those things. So there's this great big list that has been given. Now, I can tell you that change happens whether we want it or not. Amen? If you don't think so, dig out your old high school pictures and look at them, and then go look in the mirror. Change happens. Whether you want it to happen or not, it simply does. It is inevitable. It is part of life. The world around us is constantly changing. As I thought about this and pondered it over this past week, particularly as the Lord was leading me these passages today, I thought about how much change took place during the time of the pandemic. And I thought about, you know, a lot of people were grumpy. And I think the grumpiness hadn't gone away yet. We've talked about that. Some of that pandemic grumpiness still hung around. It became a way of life. But what happened is, how many of y'all remember the time where you went to a lot of places during the pandemic and they wouldn't accept cash? And you know, there's still a lot of folks in here that don't really like using a debit card, or don't really like using a credit card. You still like to write a check or get that bill by, or use cash in a place. And all of a sudden, it wasn't an option anymore. You know, and you're sitting there going, well, I don't have a debit card. And of course, today's philosophy is everybody's like, well, then you better get one, because that's where it's going. Yeah, if you're going to spend or purchase gas or food or anything, and a lot of us, how many of you all out here were forced into something that was changed for you during the pandemic, whether it was electronic stuff or what? Put your hand up high. Don't be shy. Look around. Most everybody in here, there were changes that had to be made for you to be able to function or for you to even be able to survive. Now, I'm not talking about the mask thing or anything else. I'm talking about the changes that took place in society. Now, I want you to know that the Bible teaches us about change and how to navigate through it. Even though we don't like it, it's inevitable, it's going to happen, and like everything else, the Bible tells us what we need to do. So for a moment, let's talk about the nature of change, okay? Change is constant in life. We just saw that from these particular passages in Ecclesiastes, and I also want to give you, I'll do it at the end, because I think it works better when we just kind of come back and encapsulate these two verses. But the bottom line is that change is a natural process, one that affects everything in our lives. It happens. Death brings about change, doesn't it? If you've ever lost a loved one, particularly if it's been a spouse, it changes your life, doesn't it? It changes your life, period. When you've lost to death a parent, a loved one, a spouse, a child, anything along that line, it changes your life. It's ironic what change can do to us. It's something that we cannot control the timing of nor the circumstances of. So instead of resisting change, we should learn how to accept it and adapt to it. That is what the Bible essentially teaches us. We can trust in God who is in control of all the changes in our lives. Now, I want to drive that particular point home, because if you've ever been in the midst of it and you've struggled with it along the way, you've probably had somebody that was a good spiritual person in your life come up and say to you, well, listen, man, it's all in God's hands. How many of y'all have heard that? God knows what he's doing. God's got plans for you. You didn't want to hear that, did you? You're kind of like, you brought the Yosemite Sam vocabulary out. Frickin' frackin' confounded Logan. That's what we do, because we just don't like that. And we don't understand why. But I'm here to assure you today that God does have a plan for each and every one of our lives. And all of the things that are taking place are part of getting us where we're supposed to be. Now, I'm going to give you an example in a moment, because it's an example that you and I can understand. We've read probably the Exodus, or we've been around the situation with the Exodus many, many times. That's when God's people Israel were captive in Egypt, and Moses was the one that God called to go in and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh resisted, and it was back and forth and all these different kind of things. And remember what happened when Israel finally left Egypt. Man, it was a great day. They were sitting there saying, hey, we're not slaves to the Egyptians anymore. All is most right with the world. That's a good thing. Until they hit problems. Until they got to the point where their back was to the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was coming down on them. Then all of a sudden, Moses was the lousiest person on the world. He was the worst leader in the world. He carried them to a place where it would have been better off to have died back in Egypt. In fact, that's quoted in that particular text on Exodus, isn't it? It's real easy to turn your back. It is real easy to want to run back to Egypt when the going gets tough. That was not part of God's plan. In fact, the route wasn't even part of God's plan. I want to mention this now, but I'll probably bring it back up again in just a moment. Because if you remember, what happened and what took place was God told Moses, you lead them in a roundabout way. He told them which way to go, but it wasn't the most straight, direct path to the promised land. God gave him a roadmap. Said, Moses, here, this is where you're going. And here's how you're going to go. Now, we don't read anywhere in the Word where it said that Moses had a conference with God and said, Lord, that's not the best way to go. We have conferences with God sometimes, don't we? Lord, I don't think that this is what's best for my life. But now I'll tell you something else that takes place along the way, because we see it in the Scripture throughout the whole entire time of the Exodus. I'm sure that there was somebody who came up to Moses and said this. Now remember, God told Moses, you will lead the people in a roundabout way to get to it. And he even told him why. He said, because I'm afraid that if I take you this way, you're going to encounter the enemy, and it's too easy for you to turn back and go home. Too easy. So we're going to go this way. Now, what's so ironic about that situation is I am sure that there was probably, when Moses was leading them, I'm sure that there was several of those 3 million people that were following that said, why is he going this way? This is not the way to go. This is not the quickest way. Yeah, I just don't understand him. I thought he was something else. I thought he was good at this. Why are we doing this? And then I'm sure that after a while, they probably went up and said, Moses, can I see you for just a second? Come here just a second. I want to ask you something. Why everybody's resting and getting a little bit of a little drink of water or something like that. I want you to know, Moses, I consulted the map. Let me show you something. See, if we're going here and we're right here, then the best way to go would be this way, not the way we're going. Moses is probably like, yeah, I agree with you 100%. Oh, good, then that means we're going to shift directions, right? No. You are a terrible leader. You are leading us the long. I just don't understand anything about you. Here's what the bottom line is. The bottom line is God is the one who gave the direction. How many times in your life has God given the direction and you didn't like it, but it was the right direction? See, often God is leading us away from trouble that could mess us up forever. He's leading us around the pitfalls and the potholes and everything else. He's got a reason why he does what he does. Now, let me say this. If you believe that, let me hear you say amen. That was not good. If you believe that, let me hear you say amen. If you believe that in your life, let me hear you say amen. Then why can't we trust that? When God says, this is the way I want you to go, this is what I want you to do, why do we have such difficulty adhering to what God says? Because we're busy going, God, I checked the map. Lord, this is not the best way to go. And I'm going to tell you what. See, we get to that point sometimes where we say, well, God, let me tell you what. You can go your way, and I'm going to go mine. And I bet I'll beat you there. Now, you realize I'm being somewhat facetious and metaphorical, but that is the truth. I will promise you, you won't beat God where he's trying to lead you to. In fact, you're going to get lost somewhere. You ever got lost somewhere before? I've shared this before. I remember driving a bus, and I was going someplace, and I was like, right there it is off that exit. And then I came back around, and I came back, and then I went past it, and I passed it going the other direction. Then I passed it coming this direction. And there was one astute passenger behind me that said, ain't that where we're going? I said, yes, it is. He said, we passed it 3 times. I said, yes, we have. He said, don't you know how to get in there? I said, no, I don't. He said, I get you. He said, I ain't figured it out yet either. I've been watching every step you made. And I can't figure out how you get into that. I said, well, we'll figure it out some way. But the bottom line was, listen, God has plans for our lives, and they're often not what we are, and they do involve change. It involves change. See, so many times, there are times we want change. When we find ourselves not walking with the Lord the way that we should, when we find our life not what it should be spiritually, we want to see change when it comes down to that. You know, it was really interesting that back a few years ago, I read an article about this. And it was making a comparison of Sears Roebuck and the church. And it talked, and that article actually said at one point in America, one in every 212 people in the United States worked for Sears. Some of y'all, I know some of our people worked for Sears. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember as children the Sears catalog. You couldn't Google anything back then. It was the Sears catalog, dog-eared pages of it. That alone made Sears Roebuck the largest publisher in the United States of America. It was an institution, much like the post office. You don't hear much about Sears anymore today, do you? You know why? Because Sears Roebuck failed to change with the times. All the statistics and all that article pointed out about how when online service came around, Sears said, we're not doing that. You know, that's what the wave became today. Even though you may not like it, it's going to become part of the fabric of society. And what happened was, what once was an institution almost named in the same breath as the post office, that is Sears Roebuck, barely exists, if it even exists at all, in 2024. You would have never thought it would have been that way. Now, I will tell you this, the same thing holds true for Amazon. And y'all can't fathom it right now, but something else will come down the road that will cause them to have to innovate. And if they don't, they will die where they are. The same is true for us in our spiritual lives. The same is true for us when it comes down to our church. So what is the purpose of change? Change can have a greater purpose. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We probably memorized that one, haven't we? You know, but we memorized it as all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose, right? Okay, so if you're in the midst of something, if you're in the midst of change, you're in the midst of some stuff you don't like, understand this. It's all part of God's plan to get you where God wants you to be. We have a hard time thinking about that. Well, Lord, I don't know. It just seems like you're not paying any attention to me. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Does that sound like a God who's turned his back on you? No. He knows what's best for each and every one of us. You see, God can use change to bring about growth and maturity and ultimately his good purpose in our lives. You see, change can also reveal areas in our lives that need refinement or need transformation. We've all seen that before. So how do we make application to that thought? How do we do it? Instead of fearing change, we should trust God's plan and his purpose for our life. That is the big thing I want you to get today if you don't get anything else. Instead of fearing change, we should trust in God's plans and purpose for our lives because he has them. We should allow change to shape us and to make us more like Christ. Now, here's the key issue. Change is going to happen. It's inevitable. We talked about that. So how do we respond to it? You're going to respond in one of two ways. You're either going to embrace it or you're going to push it away. But our response to change is important. You know, I like how Hebrews 13:8 points out that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is never changing in his love for us. He is never changing in the way that he feels about us. Micah 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. You know, so how do we interpret that? While change is inevitable, God's character never, ever changes. He loves us, and that love remains constant all the way. And we have to respond to that change with faith and hope and love in our Father, because things aren't what they used to be. You can look back, and all of us can look back over the years, and we can see change. We see change that we don't like. You know, in our society. Maybe we see change in our families that we don't like. Our families aren't structured the way that they used to be. But you know what? How do you go forward? Do you embrace the change? Now, I'm not saying you have to be happy about it. Nobody's happy when their spouse passes away, are they? No. I'm not saying you'd be happy about it, but you have to realize that when that happens, there are going to be changes. And all God's widows said, there are changes. It's not what it used to be. You have to find different ways to be able to do things. God's not trying to punish you in regard to that. He's got a plan, a will, and a purpose in all these things that happen and all these things that take place. Sometimes you have to weed through the weeds to get to where the prayer is. But the Lord said this, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, we should be willing to let go of what is comfortable. We should be willing to let go of what is familiar and trust in God's unchanging character to bring about God's will. We don't like to be uncomfortable, do we? That's why you've heard me say this for 20 years here. They don't call that chair a worker boy. They call that chair a lazy boy. Yeah. Bottom line is we like to be comfortable. We like for things to be our way. But is it not worth being a little uncomfortable for the sake of the kingdom at times? Is it worth being outside of your wheelhouse and being used of God, maybe in a different area that's not exactly what is in your... By the way, I'm not saying do things God didn't call you to do, but sometimes God puts us in areas that aren't what he's called us to do. Sometimes we have to be a little uncomfortable to see his work go forward. See, we should seek his guidance and his direction in the midst of change. And I say all that to say this. Change may bring discomfort and it may bring uncertainty, but it can also lead to growth and God's good purpose in our lives. So instead of fearing change, we should learn to embrace it and trust in God's plans and his unchanging love for each and every one of us. I told you today was going to be hard. I told you today's going to be one of them that you don't like. Because we just don't like change. And see, as we face changes in our lives, which we know we're going to, let us remember to trust in God, to seek his guidance, and allow him to work in and through us to bring about that change or the changes that are around us. Let's also remember that our hope and our security are found in the unchanging love and the unchanging character of God Almighty. You know, when I get into something that I don't like, I go tell God about it. Lord, I don't like this. I don't like this change. And he's like, look, bear with me. Bear with me. I've got a plan. And remember, that's like us going, God, I checked the map. We're going the long way. And you know what God says? I know. I'm the one who highlighted the route. There's a reason I highlighted the route. As I was doing this, I thought about one time when I had an overly zealous leader on a bus that they had chartered, and the guy comes to me and he says, we're going from here to here, and this is the route that you take. I looked at it, and I said, excuse me, I wanted to ask you about it. He said, no, you're going to take this route. I said, okay, boss. Not a problem. So I took off, and when I took an 11'6" motor coach to a point where there was a 9'2" clearance, I just stopped. I just stopped in the road and pulled the brake and put it in drive. Sat there for a couple minutes, and the guy comes up and he goes, is there a problem? I said, yes. What's the problem? I said, you see this tag right here that talks about the height of this motor coach? I said, see that sign right there on that overpass says 9'2"? That's less than what this is. But this is the way you told me to go, period. Into the road. Oh. Well, do you know a way around that? Yes! That's what I was trying to tell you before we left. Folks, how many times have we done that to God? God, we're going this way. And he's like, go ahead. You're either going to peel the top off of the bus or you're going to stop where you are because you ain't going to make it under there. He knows the pitfalls, the downfalls, the low clearances. He knows it all, and he's got the route. I've often said it's hilarious as a motor coach operator that everybody knows a better way to get there than me. But you know what they don't know? The weight and the height of that motor coach. What it takes to get it places. And I just smile and ignore them. If not, you just don't make it. Hey, folks, God is handing you a plan. And I promise you, it's going to involve change. We are ever changing. We are ever evolving. I've said this before. If you look at your automobile, you cannot go down to the Ford place and ask them for Henry Ford's original, you know, was it Model T? Nobody's going looking for a Model T. Well, why not? You think you could drive a Model T on the interstate today? You're going to get run over if you do. Why? Because things have changed. We're faster, more comfortable. Listen, I remember growing up in automobiles that air conditioning was an extra, and I guarantee you most of y'all remember that. That was an add-on that we couldn't afford. What was air conditioning? Rolling that window down. Would you want to go without air conditioning now? No, that's kind of standard. That's a change. Now, we've embraced that. Listen, I believe that it was Job who said, why should we only accept the good things from God's hands and not those things that are bad? Sometimes we go to God and we act like God owes us something, and I promise you, God doesn't owe us anything. I know that what happens is God says, I want to use my children. I want to get them from point A to point B, and it's going to involve change. Everybody agrees at times that if you're not moving forward spiritually, then you're moving which way? Backwards. You're never maintaining, are you? It's like walking backwards on an escalator. If you stop, you start losing ground. You're always having to go forward because things are constantly changing. But you know what God said? He said, to everything, there is a season. And he gives this whole list. What is it that he is wanting to do in your life that involves change? If the change is coming, are you embracing that change? See, some of the changes we liked. You know, if you graduated high school if you went to college, then you embraced that. Ooh, cool, this is new. I don't have to do that. Even when you went from middle school to high school or elementary school, you're like, I don't have to sit in the same classroom with all these people all day. I get to move classes around. Even the simple little things are cool because we wanted to embrace change. Then we had to start adulting. Maybe you graduated high school and went into the work field. You said, this work thing and this adulting is overrated. It was change, wasn't it? It's going to happen. It's inevitable. Look at God's plan for your life. It's there. And if you don't like it, understand something. He planned it for you for a reason and for a purpose. And it is going to be what's best for you. Follow God's plan. Can't tell you how many times Israel was ready to stone Moses. But yet he was following what God said for him to do, didn't he? You've led us out here to die. There ain't no food in this miserable place or anything else. Those are the same people that were going, oh, praise Moses. We're out of Egypt. We're not slaves anymore. That roundabout way, I'm sure there was probably somebody sitting back going, I told you we should have gone the other way. It was shorter and we wouldn't be down here to the Red Sea and we're all getting ready to die. And then God showed up. Just remember this. Then God showed up. Because God's going to show up. And he's going to part your Red Seas. And he is going to lead you to the promised land. See, another thing with Israel is when they got to that particular point that they were on the verge of the promised land, they were looking at it. At Kadesh Barnea. They sent out, remember the spies? They sent the 12 spies. You realize that wasn't part of God's plan? It wasn't part of God's plan for them to send spies into the land. And you're like, well, how do you know that, Pastor Roy. It doesn't say that in the Word. Let me tell you how I know that. Because God had led them every step of the way to the promised land, hadn't he? He said, there it is. Go get it. He didn't say, back up and punt. Send some spies in and see what's going on. That was something that was through his permissive will that he allowed. But it also was very costly, wasn't it? It said that when the 12 spies came back, only two, Joshua and Caleb, said, hey, we're well able to do this. Why did Joshua and Caleb said we're well able to do this? Let me tell you why. Because God already told them to. That's the only reason. Yes, there were giants in the land. They confirmed that. Yes, it was everything God said it was. And they're like, let's just go whip these giants. We can do it because God told us to. That's all you need. The 10 are sitting back going, I don't know. And remember what happened? Those 10 stirred up the people. And they died because of it. But it also caused Israel to have to roam in the wilderness for 40 years before entering that promised land because of their disobedience to God. Oh, they were ready to embrace change, but they were ready to embrace change on their terms, not God's terms. And God's terms were simply this. Hey, you're going to love it. It is the land that flows with milk and honey. Remember, they brought back grapes, big grapes. They said, it is everything God said it was. Joshua and Caleb, let's do it, man. And the other one's like, big old giants down in there. They make us look like grasshoppers. There are 10,000 reasons that Satan will give you not to be obedient to God. All you need is one reason to be obedient to him, and it's because he said so. Remember the thing that we always hated as children when your mom and dad said, you need to do this. And you're like, why? And they said, because I said so. That with God, that's good enough. What change is God bringing about in your life? Let me tell you, it's never going to stay the same. Everything is always evolving. Are you embracing it and saying, Lord, to the best of my ability, I'm going to be all you want me to be till the day I draw my last breath? I may not look like I did before. I may not have the strength I did before, but with what I got, help me to serve you in a way that's pleasing to you. Help me enter glory in a way that I will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Change is inevitable. We need to handle it in a way that God would have us to be. Because to everything, there is a season. Let me give you these. I'm going to ask Brad and the musicians to make their way on up as we prepare for our invitation. I told you I was going to give you two scriptures to close things out. The first one I already gave you. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. But there's also a passage in James chapter 4, verse 14 that says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? Even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Folks, time is short. Most of us are understanding that even more and more today, how short that time is. And the Lord says, all I'm giving you is today. Will you be obedient to me today? If tomorrow comes, it's a great blessing. When you wake up, you need to say, Lord, thank you for another day. But you also need to be prepared to say, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm okay either way, whatever it may be. Lord, you gave me another day. Help me not to screw it up real bad. Just help me, Lord, because I'm going to need it. And if not, we have entered into his perfection. Hopefully to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Will we embrace the change that comes our way? No, it's not always fun, but we have to sit back and go, okay, well, let's rally around this. Let's see what happens. Let's see what takes place. God is the one who orchestrated, not man. Listen, if man orchestrated it, don't do it. But if God orchestrated it, then follow it. He'll give you peace in your heart about it.
So I simply ask you this. First of all, have you trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? He can't lead you if you don't know him, if you haven't given your life to him. It's a volunteer army. Have you signed up, as the old boy says? Have you confessed you're a sinner and asked the Lord to save you, forgive your sins and save your soul? Have you done that? You know what? That's the first step, because you know what? If you drew your last breath right now and time knows no age, if you drew your last breath right now, would you see Jesus Christ's face first? Well, the only way you'll see it is by trusting him, giving him your life. It's one thing. Listen, if not, whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing, bow your head, and just simply pray to God and say, Lord, today I understand I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save my soul. Help me, Father, to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I will promise you, that was the handshake. That was the introduction. Let us know that. Listen, if you've trusted Christ, whether you're part of our online audience, if you're here, whatever it may be, let us know. We, A, want to celebrate with you. We want to help you get started on that journey to getting to know the Lord better. It's a fun journey. You get to do it with other people. It's great. It's cool. You'll love it. I promise. Just let us know. Secondly, if you're here, you know the power and the love of God. You have walked with him for many years, but you've been in some shadows. You've been in some dark gray valleys. You've been in all these different kind of things. And Satan has beat you up one way or the other. He's got you miffed with people. He's got you miffed with Christianity. He's got you miffed with church. He's got you miffed with your family. He's got you miffed with all kinds of things. And every day that you get up, you're miserable. That is not how God anticipated his children to live. He came that we might have life and have it how? More abundantly. Don't let Satan win. Yes, change is inevitable. Some don't do well with that. Some just lose their God-picking mind. And I've been around them. Yeah, I've been around people that we irritate each other. I'm the flexible one. They're not. And they go, and I'm like, cool, let's try this. Oh, but here's the other thing. We all need each other. Sometimes I need the clear-thinking, logical person. And sometimes the clear-thinking, logical person needs a little bit of wild person on their side of things. But together we will follow the Lord and we will watch great things happen. He can do it. Maybe we just need to say, Lord, look, I've let circumstances, situations, people get in the way of my love for you. Lord, I'm not smiling anymore. I am miserable. I don't care where you are or what the circumstance is. You should not be miserable. That means you are allowing circumstances to dictate your walk. That circumstantial faith that we talked about for years and years and years. Don't let those things rob you of the joy of the Father or anything else. What will you do with it? Will you say, Lord, I'm giving all this to you. I'm going to get up today and I'm going to smile and I'm going to serve you to the best of my ability and the best of my knowledge. I'm going to walk with you. I want to be an example for you. And regardless of what happens around me, whether the change or whatever else that happens around me, I am going to be what you want me to be and what you called me to be. Because he's placed you there, therefore you will be there for a reason. What is that reason? Get about that reason. What is it that you need to do? As always, we say, I'm here. I will pray with you. This altar is here. Whatever you need, whatever decision that you need to make, make that now while the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. As we stand, as we sing, and as Brad comes to lead us, our invitation hymn number 295, Near to the Heart of God.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
Lord's movement in your life. He has spoken to you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. What has He said to you? How will you act or react with it? Make sure that you just don't turn a deaf ear to it today. Don't become what Satan wants you to become. Become what God wants you to become today. Listen, as you continue to pray for each other, as you continue to interact with the Lord, I'm going to ask that our ushers would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and His offering. By the way, I'm also going to ask that those who are going to be our serving deacons make their way down to the front row as we prepare to take the offering. Father, as we come to this time where we are allowed the opportunity to worship You by giving back just a tiny portion of what You have so blessed us with, I pray that we will truly be found faithful in doing so. Lord, that You may do something incredible and that You might honor us in a very special and a very specific way. Lord, we're not giving for ourselves, but You told us that You will reward us for being faithful to return the tithe and offering to You. Lord, we pray that we will be good stewards of that as Central Baptist Church, that Your word may continue to go forward. So bless the gift and the giver as only You can. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we take these moments to gather around the Lord's table, I love what the scripture told us. It says, but let a man examine himself, that he doesn't eat of the bread and drink of the cup in an unworthy manner. You know, as we come into the Lord's house today, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us, and I can imagine what it was like as we gathered around the table, as the disciples were gathered around there, and what Jesus was trying to explain to them about His crucifixion and about His resurrection. And He talks about that bread being the element that represents His body, which is broken for each and every one of us. And He talks about that cup being His shed blood that we might be forgiven of sin that's in our hearts and in our lives. And I love what He said. He said, as you do that, He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of Me. You've seen it on the front of the communion tables everywhere. So today, for these just next few moments, I'm just going to ask that that you be conscious of the fact that being in God's presence, all that He has done for us, and why we take these times and these moments to come around the Lord's table. So in keeping with the word of the Lord, He says, let a man examine himself. May we spend a moment or two in prayer as we prepare ourselves for this time. Let's pray together. Father, as we pause in the quietness of Your house and in the stillness of being together with brothers and sisters, it's a very important time that we have to be able to come around Your table. Lord, we realize none of us are perfect, although we strive to be more like you. I pray that as we come to your table, that we do so with a clean heart, a clean conscience. Lord, if there's something that that would hinder communication today between us and you, or Lord, if there's a way that we are in an unworthy manner before you today, I pray that you will convict our hearts of that, that we will deal with that right now, that we might be prepared as we come around the table to partake in your Last Supper, but Lord, the representation of the fact of what you did for each and every one of us. So Lord, forgive us. Help us to be reverent during this time in a way that would be pleasing to you. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bill, would you ask the blessing upon the bread?
Father, we thank you for this time that we have to remember what a sacrifice you made on the cross. We ask that God to sanctify this meal as we partake of it and remember why you went to the cross for us to give us salvation. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Word tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, it says that he took bread and he passed it to his disciples, and says he gave thanks and he broke it. As he passed it to each one of them, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Brother Kelly, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Gracious Father, as we gather together to remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, how he took on flesh and blood and came and shed that blood for us, I pray, dear Lord, you bless this, our celebration, our communion with all the saints through all the ages. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The word tells us, in a like manner, also when he supped, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood." There's that change that we were talking about. No longer would they have to sacrifice animals for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus would be the once for one and all perfect sacrifice. So he said, so the word says, "In like manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, 'This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" Amen. It says, "For as oft as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." So today, as we came around the Lord's table, we took that opportunity to remember Calvary's cross and to remember the sacrifice of the crucifixion, but more importantly, the resurrection, which frees us from sin, death, and hell in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple things, and then we'll get you on out of here for a few minutes, some of us. Anyway, I've got a paper here somewhere that tells me what I'm doing, or it should. Okay, just a couple things I want to give you today in the way of announcements. Monday, Jenny Chilton will be having a birthday. So if you get a chance, let Jenny know. Also, anniversaries that are coming up. Cherie and Paul's is actually today. And then Daphne and Chris Sawyer's is this coming Friday. So those are our birthdays and anniversaries on the slate. In just a few minutes, 12:10, right? We're going to have our annual business meeting. For those that are members, please stick around. This is where we have to vote on the nominating report heading into our new year, our slate of officers. So be sure to hang around a few minutes for that. That'll be 12:10. Building grounds meeting is scheduled for 3:30, still on at 3:30 in classroom 6 over in this building. There is not going to be choir rehearsal tonight. We're going to hold off one more week. And then choir rehearsal will resume with the fall schedule at 4:45 on Sundays. We will have our Bible study in here tonight, 6 o'clock, well, down there in the educational wing, down that hall, right through those doors, with Pastor David at 6 o'clock p.m. And no band practice. If you're in the band, no band practice until September the 15th. We do want to remind you that the ladies will have their breakfast on September the 4th at 9 a.m. at Cagney's on Friendly Avenue. And then also the Ladies Connection monthly meeting will be on the 4th at 6 o'clock p.m. in the FLC 116, which is the conference room next door. Just a few other things to hit. October the 6th, we're having what was called a D-Life boot camp. We're doing a combined service with Awaken Church at 10:45. We'll do that in the gym. Bill Wilkes, the author of the D-Life material that we've been using for our small groups, will actually preach that Sunday morning, and then we'll do a training from 4 to 7:30 p.m. There's a dinner that goes with that and materials. We'd love for you to be a part of that. I think we're putting a cost at 10 instead of 15. I know it says in this thing 50. We're just trying to cover the cost of the meal and the material, as well as Bill Wilkes and his wife will be in that. And this is being publicized throughout the Piedmont Association. We're hosting that essentially for the PBA. Also, as a reminder, September is North Carolina Missions Offering Month. That's what we were talking about a little earlier, where you could contribute to that. That takes care of disaster relief, dental ministry, medical, all these other things along the way. We'll be receiving donations through September the 29th, so pretty much the end of next month. Also, mark your calendar, September the 8th, 1 o'clock p.m. for our church picnic at Triad Park. Is there a sign-up sheet out there for that? There is a sign-up sheet out there in the narthex for that. Please sign up so we'll know how much food to ask our fellowship folks to prepare for. Again, 1 o'clock p.m. sharp at Triad Park on September the 8th, 1 p.m. Awana will be resuming on September the 15th from 5:30 to 7. We need kids. We need helpers. If you can help out with that, Jim McDonald is right over there. That's Jimmy. Or Jana can help get you plugged into a place that you can help out. Also, there's a registration form on our website if you're web savvy at www.oakridgecbc.org. A couple things. 2024 Women's Retreat. That is the October the 10th through the 13th at Ocean Isle. You can't see Marcia today because she's up in Alaska. So y'all pray for Marcia and Ernie as they're taking a little bit of time away. But Mari can help you out with knowing any 3 slots available. So you can take one or all of those slots. See Mari up here today, and she can get you hooked up on that. Lots of good praises going on. I know Steve got a good praise report. Brad's feeling better. We do continue to pray for Don Ree. If you didn't know it, Don Ree fell this past week, and she has broken, I believe it's her shoulder and her shoulder blade. So we want to be praying for Roger and Don Ree in that situation. It's tough. Like we said, change is inevitable, but it makes it tough. All right, we've got just a few minutes. I'll give you time if you need to go to the restroom or whatever before we begin our church conference. Our moderator, David Bowman, will call that to order around 12:10 so we can hurry up and get what voted on we need voted on and get y'all on out to lunch. Pastor David, if you would, come on up and see us off in a word of prayer.
Just one thing in relationship to the State Baptist Missions offering, there's some bright yellow envelopes out there in the foyer that you can use to make that offering with. And also when we have communion, we always have our ushers stand at the door. We take up a collection for benevolent ministry in our church, so you be aware of that as you leave. Let me pray.
One more thing.
Okay.
If you could help us out, there should be a trash can back there. If you can just take your little communion cup and drop it in the trash can on the way out the door, that will help our fellas that I want to try to keep happy. We love how the ladies do in making our communion, but if you could help by just dropping your little cup in the garbage can at the door, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the message we've heard, the opportunity we've had to sing your praises today and be in your house and worship you. Lord, we pray that you'll bless us in the business session that we're about to partake in. We pray, Lord, that your will be done in everything we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.